My name is Trina Thiele and I'm conducting this interview on behalf of the Wellcome Trust for Anthony Gormley's One Another project. The date today is the 8th of October 2009 and the time is 8:20 PM. Could you please give me your name, age and where you're from?
Kimberly Stokes, I'm 19 and from Solihull.
And how are you today?
Tired. Scared.
Why are you tired?
Been playing with a 2-year-old.
Where?
My cousin's house.
In London or?
Yeah, well just that, well in London, just a little bit outside. Ealing-ish.
And where did you say you're from?
Solihull.
Whereabouts is that?
It's an independent town next to Birmingham. Everyone thinks it's part of Birmingham, but it's not. It's a town. It's Birmingham Airport is actually on, like, is the opposite side of Solihull to Birmingham.
And are you staying with your cousins today?
Or? No, I'm going home. Going home after. My parents drove me down.
Are they here with you then today?
Yeah.
Yes, yeah. Are there anyone else with you?
And my cousin and one of the charity workers from the charity I'm with are coming down from Reading.
Charity workers?
Yeah, from Latitude Global Volunteering.
Oh, what's that?
You go to different countries and do volunteer work with children for between 3 and 12 months. I'm going to Canada for 6 months in March.
Have you done it before?
Nope, first time going and scared about it actually.
And how did you hear about this charity?
My sister did it while it was called a different name and they changed name and she went to America with them a few years ago.
And did she enjoy it?
She loved it, so I thought I'd try and go as well.
And you say you're working with children between, how old are they?
I don't know. It's like camp age, so school age.
And what are you going to be doing with them?
Outdoor education, so basically Camp America, but in Canada. Should be fun.
So outdoor activities or?
Yeah, like kayaking, abseiling, them sort of stuff. Climbing, should be fun.
Have you done those activities?
Yeah,
before?
I've done them all my life with my dad's work, so.
With your dad's work?
Yeah, he's just retired, but he was a youth and community worker and run a youth centre. Then all the activities we did with it was fun. Good way to be brought up with all that stuff.
And what would you like to be eventually as well?
Maybe a teacher, or might after this year, because I'm going to be doing all the outdoor stuff. I'm either going to do a teaching degree or do a degree in like outdoor-y stuff and work on camps in the UK or PGL stuff. Should be fun.
Can you do a degree on outdoor? What kind of degree?
I don't. It's a joint honours thing. You do like two, but one's on like outdoor management and stuff like that. Derby University do it. That's all I've looked. Anyone I've looked at so far.
Is that a new?
No, it's been going for a couple of years, I think. Because it's becoming a bit more and more bigger, the outdoor stuff, I think.
Why do you think that it's becoming bigger?
It's fun. And people, like, you don't get the opportunity to do it that much, and it's fun to do, so if you get the opportunity, you think, oh, that's good, I'll do it outside of what, like, organisation and become better at it. Hopefully, anyway.
And you said you used to do it with your dad?
Yep.
How old were you when you first started?
About 11. So, I loved doing it.
And can you tell us a bit more about the things you got up to then?
Abseiling, climbing, windsurfing, kayaking, canoeing, sailing, whitewater rafting. That's it, I think.
What was your favourite?
Windsurfing.
Why do you like that so much?
Because not many people can do it. Not many people do it either. Like around, because in the big middle of Birmingham, there's not really many places to do it, and not many people do it. And you get to fall in the water a lot. It's all fun.
And you're going to Canada?
Yep.
Why Canada?
Somewhere new. It's next to America, so I can go travelling after. No, it's look. They've got mooses as well, and I like mooses. I'm taking a moose up there with me. Well, a reindeer, because nowhere sells mooses.
Where are you taking a moose up?
Up to the plinth. But it's a reindeer, not a moose.
On the plinth?
Yeah, it's a little toy reindeer that's going, and it's been like. It's because someone that else is doing with the charity, they live in Australia and they're waking up at 4 AM to watch me on there, so I thought I'd take it up so they interact with them.
And who is it who lives in Australia?
One of the other volunteers called Johnny.
And Have you know him from before?
No, I've met. He's joined the same charity. He's going with the charity as well. We're giving it like the email addresses of everyone else going, and you contact each other and find out. So we've got a joke about a moose going on, so it should be fun.
So you've all contacted each other before you've actually met online?
We meet, well, we're given the contacts from the charity, and then we meet in November. So you don't actually know this person until you meet them online, but then you don't speak to them actually face to face until November.
So how long have you been chatting online?
A few weeks, actually. We get on really well, which is quite scary. First conversation we had was about a moose. And bringing one back, well, jokingly bringing one back to the UK with us, which will never happen, but.
It's you and Johnny.
Yeah, like the other ones have, but the other ones are more talk about like what's happening with like the, like finding out what bit we're going, what date we're leaving. But with him, it's actually a hilarious conversation. Like this morning, we have a conversation about Mountain Dew drinks. I love it. And because we can't get it over here, and he's going to Australia, so he took a picture of himself with a bottle of Mountain Dew and tagged me to the photo on Facebook. So basically, it's got me tagged to the photo with him with a big smile on his face with the Mountain Dew, which made me laugh.
So you're tagged with the drink.
I'm tagged as the drink, and he's holding the drink. So it's quite fun.
So you've seen each other on Facebook as well?
Yeah, that's how I added him on Facebook, then I added him to MSN after, and we talk all the time now, so talk every day for a couple of hours.
And does he tell you about Australia where he's from? And
well, he's actually from London. He moved over there, I think it was 3 or 4 years ago, so he knows all the Australian, he's become really Australian. Like, asked him what his accent is, and he was like, where's some mixture between the two, because he can't get one accent now because he's got two. So it's fun.
And what's some of the other conversations you've had then?
I can't remember. A lot about mooses. A hell of a lot. And bits about like actually what's happening with our going, but otherwise it's a lot about mooses and Mountain Dew.
What is Mountain?
It's a drink. It's a fizzy drink. But we don't sell it over here because of all the what's it's got in it.
What do you mean? Why?
It's got like, I don't know, it's something that they don't sell. Imagine America's, what they put in their drinks. I think there's a lot of E numbers and a lot of sugar and a lot of caffeine and everything like that in it.
What do you mean, like really unhealthy?
It's really unhealthy. Well, it's a fizzy drink, but it's like got that many E numbers, I think it is, in it. That they wouldn't give us a lot because it'll send us all too hyper, probably.
Oh, really?
That's what I think it is. I had it before in America, but I can't remember now.
So why would it be legal in America?
Because they're not as strict with the... They're probably not as strict with the drinks that they can sell. Because they're used to it there. We're not used to it over here. Don't know.
We're not used to it.
No. Well, we have to go over there, but otherwise, no.
So what would happen if we as a nation had those drinks?
Probably be very hyper and bouncing off the walls.
So, and what exactly is it you're going to be doing on the plinth?
I've got no idea. Couldn't think of anything, so. I'm reading out a couple of things that, like, the other volunteers that are going with me are why they want to go for the charity, because the charity gives them a bit of publicity and bigs them up a bit.
The other volunteers,
they've said like why they've chose Latitude, why they want to go and do it and all stuff like that, which I forgot to print off, and then they let me go on Facebook here so I could print it off. So you're really nice, they let me print it off.
So you're going to read things?
Yeah, read those. It's just like three paragraphs, and I'm signing something to my cousin's friend's daughter, because she's the sign language, to say hello to her. And I'm holding up a sign saying Visus to my friend, because we've got an obsession with saying that.
What is that?
It's German saying how cute. So Visus. I say it to anything that, I use it actually in normal day language now. I've got that much. I say it that much now, it comes out without thinking.
When did you first hear that?
About a month ago or a couple of months ago. I was taught it by him and it just stays in.
Who taught you?
My friend Phil. He just taught it me one day. Kept saying it on Emma sent to me, and I just wanted to know what it was and had to learn it myself because I had to know what it meant and how to say it. It's become an obsession.
And so you're going to be reading these messages?
And saying happy birthday to my auntie because it's her birthday tomorrow.
Now, what is it about Laltitude that makes you so into them, into that charity?
Because I know, because I had no idea what to do, and I said to him, oh, I'm going on there. And I said, oh, I'll represent you if you want. And because my sister, it used to be called the Year Out Company or the Gap Year or something like that. They changed the name because there was another company that had a similar name. So they changed it to Latitude Global Volunteering. So my sister went with the same company. So I thought, oh, she went with them. They were really good to her. So I'll apply through them as well, which I did. And I got into it and I'm going in March. Well, I hope it's March. They haven't told me what day I'm going, but everyone else seems to be going in March. So hopefully I'm going around that time.
And you said you're going to Canada because it's something different? Something
and it's meant to, everyone that's gone there have said how beautiful and how nice the place is, and I'm really looking forward to finding it out for myself now.
And do you know where you're staying?
Nope, not yet. I'll find out in a few weeks.
How is that? So you don't know?
It's quite scary because some people know where they're going. I've got a chance to be in Vancouver because there's quite a few camps there. So the conversation I've had with Johnny, because he's in Vancouver at a camp called Epistone, and there's one nearby called Camp Howdy. So we've been taking the mick out of the Howdy, like saying, Howdy kids, welcome to Camp Howdy and stuff like that, just to have a joke around with the name. And then he'll be jealous if I get to go there instead. So it's all fun with us. Scary how well you can get on with someone within half an hour of talking to someone over the internet. It's quite disturbing, actually. You can just click with someone that well.
Is he definitely going to be with you in the same
place? He's with another girl called Becky. They're on the same camp. So he'll be in Canada, and I think me and him are going to New York after. So after we finished our working, we're going to go off to New York and stay there for a week, I think, and go see the sights.
So you've already arranged that with him?
Well, it's like I'm just saying it, but eventually when we've got all the flights sorted out, then probably we'll book the flights for him, hang out and have a laugh there. Should be fun.
And how come some people know where they're going but you don't?
It's because they do it off like what you say to them. So they've said to the person in Canada about the placements, that sorts out the placements, sort certain information they want to go to that sort of camp. And so they just do it, like they match you up to each camp. So what they've said to them is different to what I've said, so they match you up differently. So if that makes sense. Otherwise I'm just going to get myself confused now.
And what is it about the outdoor activities that you like so much? It seems to be a very big part of your life.
It's just fun to do. It's not like going on ice skating, because everyone can do that. You can go anywhere, but it's like harder to get into that stuff, and you can just, I don't know, it's got like adrenaline. You have to, like, if you're climbing or abseiling, it's like the feeling of nervous coming off the top. Like ice skating, it's just boring, to be honest. I love it, but it's boring, just going round and round. It's like you get adrenaline from it, and you get rushes from being able to like abseil off something really high or climb up something really high and completing what you're doing.
Would you say you have that in life as general as well, or is this just something you have with outdoor activities, or are you like,
it's a mixture,
you like the challenge in life?
I like things that are challenging, because otherwise it just gets boring. You're like, so what do I do now?
So what are you studying at the moment?
I'm just finishing MVQ3 in childcare. Because that's my aim, to work with kids somewhere.
What is it about that? What about that do you like so much? You seem to like to work with
kids. It's the effect you can create on their life. Like, so I was in a school, a really really nice school in Solihull, and the way you see like a child from nursery to reception, the difference, and you know you've helped them be able to read or to knowing their numbers and the colours, and you just see the difference, and you're like shocked how much they can progress by a year, and you're like, wow. I was shocked by like some of them. It's an amazing school.
So you worked in that school?
I did my placement there, so I was a student. I was being like a student teachery sort of thing, like student teaching assistant. So I was like because you have to do like work placements. My work placement was at the same school for both my MVQ2 and my MVQ3, which I loved it.
So what about the schools you've been in the past? Have you had memories of people that have had an effect on you?
Yeah, because I'm dyslexic, so I had a lot of help through school. So then they helped me out. Actually, my last college gave me a note taker to help me through my MVQ, which really helped me out a lot. Which she's very, very nice. This woman called Kate at Bourneville College in Birmingham. So they really helped me out there a lot. Especially Kate, she was amazing. She used to keep me concentrated because I've got no concentration. She used to keep me on track the whole day of the class and really helped.
Why have you got no concentration? Is that paired with dyslexia?
I'm dyspraxic as well. It's paired between the two and it really affects my concentration with things.
What's dyspraxic exactly? Can you elaborate?
No, I can't elaborate on that because I'd get confused by it, so...
Okay.
It's similar, it's two different things put together. I don't know.
Okay.
And I've got chronic fatigue syndrome as well, which makes me really tired and affects your concentration as well.
But you seem quite away now.
I'm a little bit hyper. I had a very, very sugary hot chocolate from Cafe Nero about half an hour, well, just before I came in here, so...
So what does that do, chronic fatigue syndrome?
It makes me really tired and gets my immune system down, and I'm getting over it more than what I used to be. But I have some weeks where I can't get... Well, I've had a couple of days last week that I was really struggling to lift myself out of bed. I was that tired, but this week I'm fine. Affects my sleep routines. I have to keep a certain one, getting up at a certain time. For some reason, it's best if I get up at a certain time in the morning. If I get up at 8:30 in the morning, I can go to bed as late as I want. As long as I get up at 8:30 in the morning, I'm fine. So getting into a routine really helps me with that.
So have you had this ever since you were little? Or was this
no,
different?
I got diagnosed with it a couple of years ago, which was fun. It all comes out different ways in people. Like, it could be an infection, like a cold you get, and it leaves something behind in you. But the time that I got it, there's a small percentage of people that can get it through operations. I had an operation on my mouth for my teeth, and I got it just after that. So I'm thinking it might have been linked in with the operation I had.
Really?
Yeah, because the timing of it. So it's not very common for that to happen, but I wasn't ill at the time that I got it. If I look back and try to remember it, so I think it might have been the operation that I had, because it can just trigger your body into doing it. It's quite a weird thing to have. There's a lot of support groups online for it actually, but I don't go on them that much. But used to it now.
So you say sometimes you stay in bed for...
Yeah.
For how long?
Probably I'll spend all day in bed and then get up later in the night when I've got the energy. It's fun. Spend all day on the internet.
But then when you get into routine, it's
easier. It's a lot easier if I'm in a routine of sleep. I've only established a routine of sleep like the last month or so. Because I met a friend that's always online online about 9:30 in the morning. So I get up and to talk to them, and then it wakes me up. And it gets me going for the day, and then I can go out and do things. Because I work at Tesco as well, which is fun.
How does this affect your outdoor activities that you want to be doing, that you have been doing?
It doesn't affect it that much, because if I know I've got something set to do, then I'll force myself to get up and to go do it. So with work, I'll force myself to get up to go to work and do the whole shift. Like on Saturday, I do 9 hours on my feet, so I can do that perfect and not get affected by it. Because it's like in the routine that I'm doing. So if I know I've got to do something, then I can prepare myself so that I keep it in my head that I've got to do it the next day, and I'll be fine for it.
So as long as you prepare.
Yeah, prepare. Because it's a bit of mindset as well to prepare. Then you can make your body think, oh, I've got to be all right for tomorrow. And all stuff like that.
And the three conditions, are they the dyslexic and the...
They're not linked at all. None of them are all separate individual ones.
Is anyone else in the family ever similar?
No. Not any of them. It's just me. Unlucky.
And where did you say you work now?
Tesco.
How is that?
It's fun. Well, the people are fun there. You have a laugh with everyone and everyone gets on with it. It's like a dysfunctional family. It's the best way to describe it, is a dysfunctional family.
Why?
It just is the way that we all get on. We all have inside jokes with each other and it's just fun. I have a laugh with them, so... good.
What do you do at Tesco?
I work on the customer service desk and the kiosk. The addiction counter and the moaning counter, basically. It's what I call it. Because in theory, it is, it's some people moaning and people being addicted to cigarettes and lottery.
Are there a lot of people?
Yes. A lot. Yeah, it's fun. I'm on there tomorrow, actually. Yippee. 6 hours of customer service.
And back to the plinth. What would you personally like to gain from that experience?
It's a once-in-a-lifetime thing, and not many people are doing that. That's what it's limited amount that people are doing. It's going to be an amazing thing to say, oh, when I'm older, oh, yeah, I did this when I was younger. Talk to my kids if I have them or grandkids. And I'm like, wow, look what I did. I accomplished something that big by doing something that's really limited for people to do. So that's why I see it anyway.
And just interested again in your chronic fatigue, and are there any cures for that?
What my doctor said before, that I can, if I do like a certain amount of exercise a day, I can slowly build it out of my system, which I've been trying to do, but some cases it works, some cases it doesn't, but eventually you can kick it out of your system. Or there's like therapies and stuff you can do, but there's no guarantee of them working, but I'm fine. I'm happy enough with it now, so, because you can control it yourself and stuff, so it's good.
Is being dyspraxic, is there a cure for that?
No, nor dyslexic. They can just help you with it. It's like a learning difficulty, dyspraxic, so yeah.
What would you say is important to your life at the moment?
My family a lot. I love my family's bits, and all my like cousins and stuff, and my friends, and Canada actually at the moment, to live that experience. And so I could love it there and apply to live there after, and then I'm out the country.